Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning isn't just another Holocaust memoir. It's a profound exploration of what makes life worth living, even in unimaginable suffering. As a psychiatrist imprisoned in Nazi concentration camps, Frankl witnessed firsthand how some prisoners maintained their inner dignity while others collapsed spiritually. Through this crucible of human experience, he discovered something revolutionary. Between stimulus and response lies a space to choose our attitude toward any given circumstance. This freedom to choose our response, Frankl argues, is the final freedom that cannot be taken away, even when everything else is stripped from us. When we find meaning in our suffering, we can endure almost anything. This insight isn't abstract philosophy. It emerged from watching who survived the camps and why, forming the foundation for Frankl's therapeutic approach called logotherapy, focused on finding meaning rather than merely seeking pleasure or power. Imagine being stripped of everything, your name replaced by a number, your possessions and identity taken, your family separated, your future uncertain. The psychological journey through the camps unfolded in distinct phases. First came shock, the disbelief as prisoners approached Auschwitz at dawn, seeing watchtowers emerging from the mist, clinging to delusions that conditions couldn't be as bad as they appeared. These illusions shattered quickly during the selection process. Right meant labor, left meant death, conducted with the casual flick of an SS officer's finger. Next came emotional numbing, a protective apathy allowing prisoners to witness death without breaking down. This wasn't callousness, but necessary psychological defense. How else could the mind process seeing hundreds dying daily? Finally came the period after liberation, bringing its own psychological challenges as survivors confronted a world that couldn't comprehend their experiences. The concentration camp system was designed not just to kill, but to dehumanize, to reduce people to numbers in a herd. Yet even here, something remarkable happened. Some prisoners maintained their inner humanity through small acts of dignity and compassion. They shared their last piece of bread. They spoke words of encouragement. They found beauty in a sunset glimpsed through barbed wire. What determined this difference in response? Not intelligence or physical strength, but inner life, the ability to retreat into a spiritual domain beyond external control. Frankl recalls finding 5 minutes of solitude behind a hut, a rare moment to commune with memories of his wife and envision a future beyond the camp. This spiritual dimension manifested in surprising ways. Some volunteered for medical duties, finding meaning in helping others even when their own survival was precarious. Others sustained themselves through mental conversations with loved ones, discovering that love transcends physical presence. Why did some prisoners with relatively privileged positions and better physical health succumb quickly, while others in harsher conditions showed remarkable resilience? Frankl observed that physical survival often followed psychological survival. Those who lost hope frequently died soon after. One prisoner had convinced himself he would be liberated by Christmas. When that date passed without rescue, he collapsed with fever and died within days. This give-up-itis claimed countless lives. The survivors weren't necessarily the physically strongest, but those who maintained a sense of future purpose, whether reuniting with loved ones, completing unfinished work, or bearing witness to what they had endured. Frankl himself survived partly by mentally reconstructing his manuscript, confiscated upon arrival, and imagining himself giving lectures about concentration camp psychology after liberation. This mental projection beyond present suffering, what he called provisional existence, created psychological distance from immediate pain and affirmed that current experiences, however horrible, could serve a greater purpose. Perhaps most surprising was Frankl's description of liberation. Rather than experiencing pure joy, many prisoners encountered what he termed depersonalization. Freedom felt surreal, like a beautiful but disorienting dream. Having adapted to brutal realities for years, many struggled to readjust. Some who had suppressed aggressive responses toward their tormentors now wrestled with overwhelming impulses for revenge. Others returned home but faced societal indifference. People who dismissed their experiences with casual remarks like, "We suffered too," or "Let's focus on the future." Many former prisoners struggled to rebuild their lives, not just because of material losses, but because their entire framework of meaning had been destroyed. Those who had sustained themselves by clinging to specific future goals, reuniting with loved ones, completing work, often faced crushing emptiness when these goals proved unattainable. This insight formed the foundation for logotherapy, helping people discover new meaning when old meanings had been destroyed. Frankl's therapeutic approach rests on a fundamental premise. Humans are primarily motivated not by pleasure or power, but by the search for meaning. When this drive is frustrated, we experience existential frustration, emptiness, and purposelessness that can lead to what he calls nosogenic neuroses, psychological problems rooted in questions about life's meaning. According to Frankl, meaning can be discovered through three primary avenues: creative work, achieving goals, creating something valuable, loving relationships, connecting deeply with others, and the attitude we take toward unavoidable suffering. His perspective on love is particularly profound. When we truly love someone, we see not just who they are, but who they might become. His approach to suffering is equally revolutionary. While never suggesting seeking suffering for its own sake, he argues that unavoidable suffering can become meaningful through our response to it. In some ways, he notes, suffering ceases to be suffering at the moment it finds a meaning. Frankl concludes with what he calls tragic optimism, the ability to remain hopeful despite life's tragic aspects, pain, guilt, and death. This isn't naive positivity, but a clear-eyed recognition that meaning exists even in the most difficult circumstances. Pain becomes an opportunity for growth when we rise above it. Guilt becomes a catalyst for change when we use it to improve ourselves. Even death, by making time finite, gives our choices significance. Live as if you were living for the second time, Frankl suggests, and had acted as wrongly the first time as you are about to act now. What makes his message so enduring is its balance of realism and hope. He doesn't minimize suffering, having experienced its extremes firsthand, but neither does he surrender to despair. Instead, he offers a third path, finding meaning through our response to life's inevitable challenges. By choosing meaning over nihilism, responsibility over victimhood, and self-transcendence over self-absorption, we claim our essential humanity even in the darkest times.